We're going out to our wonderful friend John Lynn. He is with the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana. You can go online and check out a whole great series of teachings and educational materials and so on. TLTF.org. You just heard the commercial for the End Times video. Check that one out, and they are going to have, actually it's DVDs now, and they've got a new series coming up as well. And John, so blessed to have you back here today. How are you this morning?
Hey, Rob, thank you so much. We're doing very well. It's a sunny day in Indianapolis. It's even going to break 40 degrees. So we're in good shape here, and I'm very blessed to be on with you once again and to be able to address one of the most controversial and hotly debated topics in Christian history, which you teed up very well, God's foreknowledge versus, if you will, man's free will, because you can't have both. If you speak about God's absolute foreknowledge, in what we will see is the Hellenistic or the Greek sense that once upon a time in the past, God saw every event of human history as a present reality. In other words, I'm on the phone with you today, so I can't see the shirt that you chose to wear today, but you had other choices, obviously. I'm sure you have at least two shirts. And so did you really have a choice? Not if once upon a time in the beginning, 50 billion years ago, God saw exactly what was going to happen every minute of every day of human history. Then he saw you wearing that shirt, and there was no other way it could have turned out. Now, most Christians are just taught this, that God has absolute foreknowledge. Of course, I was taught it in the Protestant church that I attended growing up. And too often, we don't think, we don't question, we don't ask, wait a minute, how could that be? And the main problem with this doctrine, which is not at all what the Bible says, and of course in our ministry, what we're trying to do is let God speak for himself and just take his word for it rather than we try to make up stuff. And the main problem involved with this idea is that God is responsible for evil. You cannot get him off the hook, because the classic idea taught in Christianity is that once upon a time, when God was all by himself deciding what he wanted to do, he foresaw every single thing that would happen. Well, that includes the fall of Lucifer, one of the angels that he created, who has become somewhat of a menace, to put it very mildly. We're talking about Satan, the devil, who is at the root of all the unspeakable evil. The last time I was on, we talked about the Sandy Hook shootings. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket for what the enemy, Satan, has done to mankind. And if God knew that Lucifer would rebel and become Satan, and if God knew that Adam would also rebel and disobey him and wreak indescribable havoc on mankind, and he still went ahead with it, then it is very hard to love him. And of course, this strikes close to home. If you were a parent of the children in Sandy Hook, you would have to be at least somewhat upset with God. And so we have talked many times on this show that the Word of God is either what it claims to be or it's not. If it is not what it claims to be, then life is a crapshoot. Everything I say is suspect. There's no such thing as truth. All of these things we have addressed, and many of you listening today have heard that. But I believe the basic question of the human heart is God good? In other words, can I trust him? And I believe that the root of all human sin is a faulty picture of God. Why would I believe that? Genesis chapter 3. The devil came along. There's Eve in the garden and Adam. And he said to her, in essence, hey, how come God is withholding from you the one thing that you need? I mean, what's the deal? What's up with this one tree over here, quote, quote, tree? It's all figurative language there. But what's up with this? Why won't he let you? Well, obviously, he is withholding from you the one thing you need. He just doesn't want you to be like him. Now, that lady was ill-informed by her husband. Adam is the one, of course, who is held accountable. But she should have said, look, you moron, we got all the other trees. They're awesome. Obviously, God has a reason. We don't need this one. And we're already like God because we are made in his image. But, of course, that's not what she said. And what we see from then on is that Satan has relentlessly assaulted God's testimony of himself. Now, Satan has an easier time assaulting the written word than he did or does assaulting Jesus Christ, the living word. Because historically, most everyone knows about Jesus that he was a really nice guy, at least, and all he did was ever love, and then they put him to death for absolutely no reason. Well, of course, what Jesus actually said was, hey, you want to know what the invisible God is like? Watch me. I always do what he tells me to do. I always say what he tells me to say. And so the character of God is flawlessly exemplified in the person of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, God is an abstraction, and people will make up their own stuff about God. And so we go back to in the beginning, and we want to know, okay, how do we know what God did when he was all by himself and could have done whatever he wanted, as long as it didn't violate his loving nature and flawless character and integrity and so forth? We read the Bible. That's how we know what God did. And so what do we see in the Bible? Well, he decided to make people and to give them genuine free will. Why? Because without free will, love is not love. Most people in the world want to love someone, you know, they want to get married, they want to have a family, but they don't want to marry a robot who is programmed to love them. That would not be fulfilling. So God, in giving man genuine free will, limited his control of human events in large part. And he also decided to enter into a linear relationship. The word linear is line with an AR. So it means time, time. God entered into a moment by moment relationship with mankind. And that is exactly what the Bible says. The Bible does not say that God knows every single thing that's going to happen. And I will get to all of this because it is liberating, it's fascinating, it's intellectually and emotionally satisfying, as opposed to the idea that God knows everything that's going to happen. And if you go to what is called Calvinism, that is a step in the wrong direction, because it says that God not only knew everything that was going to happen, but that he determined everything that would happen, and that leaves him to be an insane psycho who creates evil people, knowing that they will be evil and do horrible things to people, and they really have no choice because he has planned out the whole. And there is far too much of that kind of idea permeating Christianity today, and it's one of the main reasons that many thinking people have rejected what they see to be Christianity.
Wow, that's some heavy stuff there. I'm sure we have some of our listeners going, holy mackerel, I've never heard this guy before, perhaps, or maybe those who have and are saying, wow. This is going to be a very, very intriguing, interesting show. We're just getting off to a start. Our very special guest today is John Lynn of the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis. We're going to go to a break here in about a minute. Go online, the Living Truth Fellowship. So it's TLTF.org. That's Thomas Larry, thomasfrank.org, and go online. They've got amazing teachings on there, the End Times DVDs. They've got all kinds of learning tools on there. You can hear other of John's broadcasts. By the way, this broadcast and every other broadcast is going to be online, as they have been, as a podcast available free to you, so we can get God's word out there and the testimonies and the teachings out there. You can get it live on demand here on Indy104.com. You can also go to iTunes and just look up Rob Echno, or on Rapid Feeds as well. And all of John's prior shows and all of the other wonderful folks from the Living Truth Fellowship, our friend Larry, who was on last week as well, that great show, and Paul Knopp and the rest of the folks that will be here, all of the great shows are available. So go back and use them as learning tools. Hear some of the testimonies, and perhaps we'll be sharing yours. Also on the Indy104.com website are a couple of applications for your smartphone and your Droid, so you can actually download those and listen right on your smartphone or through the Bluetooth in your car while you're driving down the road as well. We'll be right back. We're going to take ourselves a short break, going back out live to Indianapolis right after these messages.
Are you looking for a speaker for your next event? Are you looking to improve your productivity, create a more positive working environment, or inspire your congregation to be all that they can be? Then you need to schedule talk show host, author, and motivational speaker Rob Echno today. Whether speaking to a group of 20 or 20,000, Rob Echno delivers a very powerful, energetic, and entertaining message that encourages and motivates his audiences to truly become their very best. On church podiums, Rob's preaching blends a mix of scripture and his life's experiences for a God-filled message that resonates deep in the hearts of those listening, motivating them to live meaningful, God-inspired lives. So don't wait. Now's the time to schedule Rob Echno to speak at your next event. Call TS Management at 818-506-3640. That's 818-506-3640. And get ready to be all that you can be.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Live from Los Angeles, you're listening to In Your Face with Rob Echno on Indy 104.
Welcome back. I'm having such a good time chatting with our wonderful guest. Always learning something, I am. And again, I don't prepare a lot of questions. If you're ever a guest on the show, you've known that. But if you haven't been, I don't prepare a lot of stuff like many hosts, because I want the answers to all come from the heart and from God. When we do have our good friend John Lynn on, though, because we want to get kind of specific and really learn about the Word of God, really learn about the Bible and what God's Word said and what it means and the truths behind it, John does some prep work, obviously, very good prep work. And I myself, and I know many of our folks, perhaps yourself, have learned quite a bit here. So, John, we're talking today about God's foreknowledge versus man's free will. John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, TLTF.org. And John, continue on here, because you brought up some great stuff here in the fact that, you know, God did not create evil, mean, nasty people that he knew were going to get all these Uzis or stick people in gas chambers and have mass murders and all this stuff. That would truly be insane. And like you said, who would ever love him or trust him? But that's not who he is, correct?
Absolutely. And again, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So that's, of course, the whole point of Scripture. And I mean, most thinking people would realize, wait a minute, if everything is going to turn out the way God sees it, then what's the point of my free will? What's the point of prayer? And that idea leads to resignation rather than revolution. Now, what did Jesus? Jesus showed us the heart of God. So Jesus shows up, and he was rather appalled by the state of the world that he found. One day, as recorded in John chapter 9, he's walking along the dusty trail with his disciples, and they come upon a blind man. The disciples said, "Hey, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Yikes, that he was born blind. Now, what that question indicates is that they were already being influenced by the lie known as reincarnation, that people take laps through the universe, and if you don't succeed as a doorknob, you can come back as a badger, and then eventually a psycho human or whatever. But Jesus said, he did not say, "Oh, well, this is all part of God's master plan that this man was born blind, and so we'll just move on and leave him that way." Absolutely not. First of all, Jesus says, "Hey, neither this man nor his parents sinned." You're asking the wrong question. The question to ask is, what are we going to do to help this guy? And so Jesus revolted against the devil's status quo, and he healed that man as he healed countless people. Now, those of you listening out there today, if you're not head, excuse me, if you're not head over heels in love with God and Jesus Christ, it's simply because you do not know them. And that is simply because you have not ever been taught what they say for themselves. But there are so many questions that the idea of absolute foreknowledge brings up that cannot possibly be answered, especially in the light of some of the scriptures that we're going to talk about. But here are some of the absolutely unsolvable problems caused by the idea that God has absolute foreknowledge. Now, just to preface what we'll get to in another segment today, God has foreknowledge. Don't hear me saying that God does not have foreknowledge. I'm saying he does not have absolute foreknowledge in the Greek pagan sense that was espoused by Plato, picked up by Augustine, and now having been echoed through the centuries by people of whatever theological ilk who do not think or who do not notice that what they believe is not what the Word of God says. So here's a good question. If God is eternally certain that various individuals will end up being eternally damned, why does he go ahead and create them? And then try to get them to accept his grace throughout their lives as though there were genuine hope for them? That's a very good question, and you got no answer other, you know, except to say, because he's a psycho. Well, that is not how he speaks in Scripture. And if you, those of you listening, you want to turn after the show or now to Jeremiah chapter 36, you can see that God spoke in perhaps. He said, "I'm going to give you the word to give to this wicked king. Perhaps he will change his insane behavior." Well, if words have meanings, then perhaps means perhaps. So here are some of these unsolvable problems. First of all, evil and suffering must be attributed to God at the least common denominator, because Satan then becomes his pawn. Well, of course, that is not the picture painted by Scripture. The picture painted in the Word of God is a war between the good God and the bad, quote, God of this age, who is known as Satan. And so people don't understand the book of Job, where Satan comes in and says, "Hey, can I smack Job upside the head?" And God says, "Yeah, just don't kill him." Well, obviously that is a figure of speech known as an allegory, because God would never give permission, just like you would never give permission to anyone to hurt your children. So the idea, this is what most Christians teach. Maybe you don't go to a Christian church, but most Christians teach that Satan can do nothing without God's permission, that God is, in effect, using Satan. Well, that is, first of all, it's insane, and second of all, it's egregious in terms of attributing evil to God. Here's another problem. Personal responsibility is greatly diminished and people become fatalistic. What difference does it make, the choices that you make today? Well, folks, you know, if you have a brain, you know that the choices you make, like Rob was saying at the beginning of the show, he's made some good choices and some bad ones. Well, he doesn't know all the good ones and bad ones I've made, because I made some stupid choices that affected me and others in a negative way. No, no, no. Your life is a big deal. If you've ever heard of the butterfly effect, scientists believe now that the flap of a butterfly wing in one part of the world can trigger a series of circumstances that result in a tornado or hurricane in another part. So that's for what it's worth. But you are a big deal, and the choices you make. Here's another problem. You must accept blatant contradictions of logic and intellect. Like God told Moses, go deliver, go to the Pharaoh, let my people go, tell him. And God does a lot to get Moses over there. And then it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Moses was going, what? Wait a minute. You just told me to get over here. Now you're hardening his heart, so he's not going to let him go? Well, how do you explain that? You explain it when you understand how God communicates in his word. Most people just, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, so I quit. God's an idiot. Excuse me. We don't make that determination. We let God speak for himself, because that would contradict other parts of Scripture. Another problem is that prayer is meaningless. There's no point to pray. What is the point to get up early and pray for your friends, your family, your loved one, your country, whatever, if it's all going to turn out the way that God knows? And another consequence of this lie that God has absolute foreknowledge is that an intimate, personal, and reciprocal relationship with God in Christ is incredibly diluted. So there is an alternative to the viewpoints that I have set forth, and that is, once upon a time, this is what the Bible says, when God was truly sovereign, that is, able to do whatever he wanted, that did not violate his nature and character. In other words, God can't lie, the Bible says. So when he was sovereign, able to do whatever he wanted, he decided to create free will creatures and thereby limit his control over them. And this is a fascinating topic that we will say more about after this break.
You know, you bring up a great point here, because I'm listening along here. Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense, because you're right. Who would love God if he knew for certain that he set up, you know, people like the folks in Germany that put people in concentration camps and just wiped out, you know, civilizations, basically, and people that he knew that one day some young kid was going to get trained on guns by his mom and go into a school and then just blow away 26 people, including 20 young children. That would make absolutely no sense. We'll talk more with John about this in a little bit, because I'm sitting here learning a lot, and it's really getting my mind going and thinking, too, more and more about the Word. And that's what it's all about, is about the Word, and that's what John's group is about, the Living Truth Fellowship. Go online at tltf.org. They have all kinds of wonderful training tools, learning tools about the Word. They've been around for a long time. Those of you who are a part of their group know that. Those of you who are catching on, because obviously, here's the funny thing. Every time John is on over the last several times, we have had amazing audiences, the largest that we've had since we've had folks on. And what are we talking about every time that John comes on? We're talking about the truth and the Word of God. So isn't it interesting that my only advertising agency that I have, my only public relations firm, is God? He's the one in the Holy Spirit getting the word out that this show is existing. And here we are talking about the truth of the Word of God, and more people continue to creep into our airwaves to learn more about it. Isn't that interesting? Think about that as we take our break.
Is 2012 the year the world ends? Is planet Earth going to be destroyed by a giant meteor or a nuclear holocaust? Mankind has long speculated about how and when the world will end, but all the self-proclaimed prophets of doom have thus far been wrong. Hey, if God started the world, maybe he has something to say about how he will end it. That's exactly what we'll learn in the exciting, enlightening, and extremely entertaining video, The End Times.
I'm John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, the teacher of this rockin' one-of-a-kind overview of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You will learn how to live as a Christian in this crazy world, and you'll also learn the truth about the end times and the good news that we win.
Order your copy of The End Times today for only $39. Go to tltf.org/end. That's tltf.org/end and get one of God's greatest gifts, peace of mind. That's tltf.org/end.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
In today's market, either a business gets social or it gets left behind. Social media has given the customer a voice and has created the perfect opportunity for businesses to connect with their potential customers and clients and build lasting business relationships. Your potential customers are waiting for you. Contact Highway to Success today to discuss the best way to form relationships with them. Your competitors are already doing it. Contact Cynthia at 866-636-4696. Get social today by calling 866-636-4696. And keep listening to Indie 104 for information on the new Highway to Success show coming soon.
It's time to get back in your face with Rob Ekno on Indie 104.
Welcome back. I hope you are enjoying your Wednesday. We are learning more about God's Word, God's foreknowledge. What does God really know? Is every single second and determination of your life set aside already? We were talking about clothes you wear. Does God really know what shirt you're going to pick out of the closet today and what pair of pants and whether you're going to put, you know, red makeup on if you're a lady or blush or whatever color it is? Or does he know X amount and our free will determines the rest? And that's what we're talking about today. God's foreknowledge versus man's free will with our wonderful friend John Lynn of the Living Truth Fellowship, tltf.org. Go online, learn more about their group and all the amazing teachings. Here are other of John's broadcasts that he's done here as well. They're all available on podcasts, so you can continue to learn, download, put them on your iPhones, whatever. And we continue along, John. And we are learning more and more that God does not have absolute foreknowledge, which I think is probably waking a lot of people up today.
Well, I hope so. And if you think about it, when you read what the Bible says, you see that in Genesis, God risked mightily. And the first man terribly disappointed him because God did not absolutely know whether Adam would obey and produce a wonderful race of people on a perfect earth or whether he wouldn't. But here's the cool thing. This is awesome. God is so big, so mathematically capable, if you want to look at a matrix of possibilities, that he could foresee every eventuality when he made the first two folks. And he had created a contingency plan for whatever would happen. And of course, we know that he needed to implement Plan B, or we call it Plan J, Jesus Christ, the last Adam. Because the first Adam took the choke and disobeyed God. God implemented his other plan. And there's so much. We have, if you go to the website, what I'm sharing today is there's a teaching, it's of greater length than this little amount of time that we have here, and it will lay out all these. If you're a thinking person, if you want to know Jesus Christ and God and the Word, you have come to the right place. We're just human morons like you, but we have tried to be faithful and at least apply laws of reason and logic and linguistic principle. Words have meanings. God cannot say one thing in one place and contradict it somewhere else. So he has risked. And so you think, well, wait a minute, what about all the prophecies about Jesus that he's going to do this and this and this and this? That's a great question. The answer is, God was giving Jesus a good reputation to live up to because Jesus had free will. Remember what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was under the greatest stress and agony any human's ever been through? He said, if it is possible, take this cup from me. In other words, if there's any other way than the cross, please, let's do it that way. And of course, God's answer to him was, I'm sorry, there is no other way. And so Jesus had free will, like the first Adam. That is why we can love Jesus Christ so much. He was not some kind of God-man robot just plodding through life according to the plan. Absolutely not. God was beside him step by step in the trenches of life, leading him and guiding him. And now God and Christ want to do the same thing for you. They want to flank you on the path of life. Now, can they see farther down the road in your life than you can? Oh, yes, they can. But they do not know the free will choices you will make, and I'll elaborate on this as we go forward, because those choices do not yet exist to be known. So now, here's the deal. Once upon a time, God was all by himself, and what he decided to do is recorded in Scripture. And here is a quote from a book called The God Who Risks by John Sanders. That and another book called God of the Possible by Greg Boyd are excellent resources. But listen to this. God is the sovereign determiner of the sort of sovereignty he will exercise. Now, most people today, they say, oh, God is sovereign. You know what that means to them? He can do anything he wants anytime he wants. Well, that's nonsense. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God can't do lots of stuff if he doesn't have human cooperation. So Sanders goes on. God is free to sovereignly decide not to determine everything that happens in history. He does not have to, because he is supremely wise, endlessly resourceful, majorly creative, and omnicompetent in seeking to fulfill his project. In the God-human relationship, God sometimes decides alone what will happen. Other times, God modifies his plans in order to accommodate the choices, actions, and desires of his creatures. That is so good, because what we're talking about here is not some static God far removed from the trials and tribulations of mankind. We're talking about a God who said, once upon a time, I want a family to live forever in a paradise with me, and we'll have a wonderful time. And that plan got screwed up, and God has been fixing that through his son, Jesus Christ, and it will eventually, because of Jesus's free will choices all the way through the cross, that will come to pass. So in Christ, God intervened in a major way. Here's another statement. Listen to this. The reason God cannot do certain things now is because of what he chose to do in the beginning when he set things up and created free will beings. Last time I was on the show, we talked about the Sandy Hook shootings, just one in a long line of insane tragedies. And I said, how come God couldn't stop that? Or how come he didn't stop it? Because he couldn't. And why couldn't he? Because he didn't have sufficient human cooperation. Had Jesus Christ not decided to stand in the gap. You can read Ezekiel 22, 30 and 31. And God says, I'm looking for one man to stand in the gap for my people. And if I just find one, then I can work. I can help them. But I found none. And Israel was run over time and time again in the Old Testament, not because it was God's will, but because the devil was trying to destroy the bloodline of the Messiah to come, and Israel didn't obey God. So they, as it were, they walked out from under his umbrella. Well, Jesus Christ read those verses in Ezekiel 22, and he said, well, dadgummit, I'll do it. I'll stand in the gap. And that is exactly what he did. I made a statement in the last segment that when God gave man free will, he also entered into a linear relationship. Now, I said he can see much farther down the road than you can. And, oh, yes, he can tip things off to you before they happen because he has a much bigger perspective of everyone around you, and he knows the thoughts of every human being and every demon and so forth. And in the next segment, I'm going to talk about that. God makes predictions, prophecies, and promises. Some of them are conditional, and some of them are unconditional. Whenever he makes an unconditional promise, and those are the minority, or a prophecy like he did to Abraham, he knows he can pull it off without usurping anyone's free will. But most of the prophecies that God makes are, if you do this, I'll do this. And it Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 was about to sacrifice Isaac. God had said this was Isaac, his special son, and the bloodline of the Messiah when you put the whole thing together. And the point is, when Abraham had the knife on Isaac's throat, what did God say by way of the angel that showed up and intervened? Said, hold it, now I know that you mean business. So chill, and here's a ram, and it was all type of Christ and prophecy. But the point is, God knew Abraham's thoughts all the way up the mountain, and Abraham was going to kill Isaac. I will obey, because I know God will raise him from the dead. And yet, God did not absolutely know until that moment, because Abraham could have changed his mind, and when God understood that he wouldn't, then he said, hold it. And that is one of many verses that illustrates the linear relationship that God has with mankind. And that means he is there with you moment by moment by moment to help you in every way he can.
Wow. And that's an awesome deal right there, knowing that he's there 24/7. And that's what I've always learned myself. The question is, do I turn to him 24/7? Or do I go back to my old ways when I used to run away? You know, we make some insane choices, and then we decide, you know what, maybe if I hide out here, if I walk down a dark alley, hang out under a shady tree, God won't know that I still exist. He'll forget about my insane choices. But the great thing about God that I've learned, John, is this, is that he never forgets, but he always forgives. And that's the amazing point about God. And thank God that he did. And I look at it like this as we go into our break, is that all the insane choices I made, where there were many times where I should not be here on this side of the earth right now, that God helped keep me alive along the way somehow, I guess, because I'm still here. And then he's made it very clear, especially with this radio show and a book I wrote and different things that you may have in your life, that he's made it really clear. I got you covered if you're willing to do what I need you to do, which is what John's doing right now, studying and teaching the word, TLTF.org. Go online while we go on the break. We've got one more section to wrap it up. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Is 2012 the year the world ends? Is planet Earth going to be destroyed by a giant meteor or a nuclear holocaust? Mankind has long speculated about how and when the world will end, but all the self-proclaimed prophets of doom have thus far been wrong. Hey, if God started the world, maybe he has something to say about how he will end it. That's exactly what we'll learn in the exciting, enlightening, and extremely entertaining video, The End Times.
I'm John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship, the teacher of this rockin' one-of-a-kind overview of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You will learn how to live as a Christian in this crazy world, and you'll also learn the truth about the end times and the good news that we win.
Order your copy of The End Times today for only $39. Go to tltf.org/end. That's tltf.org/end and get one of God's greatest gifts, peace of mind. That's tltf.org/end.
Hi, I'm Rob Ekno. Can you honestly say that you're happy with the shape of America today? If you're as frustrated as I am, then please join me in helping to return our great country to its glory. I've written a book called God Bless America Before It's Too Late. When you get your copy, it'll have you thinking about what contributions you may have had in shaping our country today, and to get us all to realize the differences and positive effects each of us can have on returning America to being all that it can be. So please go online now at robekno.com to order your copy of God Bless America Before It's Too Late and be a part of an even better tomorrow. That's robekno.com to order your copy now. Thanks for your support and have a super blessed day.
More In Your Face with Rob Ekno happens now on Indy 104.
Welcome back to a wonderful Wednesday. We're cruising right along here. It is the 23rd day of January 2013 already. Yowza! I mean, look at it. The whole first month of the year is gone, and I'm hearing that this is the year of the harvest for us, and that's what friends and spiritual gurus of mine are telling me, so hopefully you're starting to see some of the reaps of your sowing. And I can tell you this, if you're listening here today, you're learning a lot about, you know, God and how he works. We're talking about God's foreknowledge and man's free will and how those intertwine and interact, and how God did not have absolute foreknowledge. So, you know, Adam made some choices that God perhaps was either hoping and or expecting not to happen. But they were made, and we started from there, and we're moving on. Our very special guest today, John Lynn from the Living Truth Fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana. And you can go online and learn more about their group and all the wonderful teachings at tltf.org. And, John, we've got about 10 minutes or so to kind of wrap up today's show. And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, I know myself, very intrigued. I'm imagining our listeners can't wait to hear this last segment.
Great. Well, I can't wait to get into these closing things because, again, this stuff makes sense. Remember, truth makes sense. Now, you got to have the prerequisite foundation. If I walked into a calculus class and looked at that on the board, I would say that's insane because I do not have the requisite mathematical foundation. But it's not insane to people who do have that mathematical foundation, and they can use it to do great things and go into outer space and whatever. So, here's the deal. Now, this is a critical point. God has foreknowledge. He does not have absolute foreknowledge. The question is not about God's ability to know. People use the word omniscient. It's not really in the Bible, but it's okay. It means all-knowing. So God is all-knowing in the sense that he can know and does know everything knowable. But the future free will choices of free will beings do not exist now for him to know. Now think about it. How does God make predictions, prophecies, promises? What is it based upon? It's based upon his perfect knowledge of the past. God knows every conceivable thing in the past that happened. It is based upon his perfect knowledge of the present. He knows the thoughts of every human, every demon, etc. And based upon that body of knowledge, combined with his knowledge of his own purposes and his own plans and his own goals, he makes two kinds of predictions, conditional and unconditional. So the future consists settled certainties and unsettled possibilities. What are the settled certainties? Well, they're all because of what Jesus Christ did, because he went all the way to "it is finished" and died on the cross. Now, his resurrection was guaranteed, his coming again and fixing all the nonsense that's going on, getting rid of evil, all of that is guaranteed. There will be a party. But who comes to the party and what party favors they receive is up to the free will choices of the people. Now, if you are a parent, especially of a younger child, you have foreknowledge. Because I sit your child down at your dining room table and I put a plate of broccolis and a plate of brownies in front of him, and I ask you beforehand, here's what I'm going to do, which of those will your child choose? Now, most of you are going to say the brownies. How do you know that? Because you're God. No, because you have limited knowledge of the past and the present in regard to your child. So multiply that about 80 zillion times and you understand how God can make and see them come to pass, the predictions that he does. Now, some people, when they hear this initially, they think, well, you're making God smaller. Oh, no, just the opposite. We're making God look the way he really is, incredibly resourceful and incredibly awesome. Okay, want a perfect analogy? Bobby Fischer, I don't know if he's still the world's greatest chess player, but he once was. So I sit down with Bobby. Hi, Bobby, let's play chess. Is there any doubt of the outcome? No, Bobby's going to crush me because I know very little about playing chess. Now, let me ask you a question. Is Bobby going to crush me because Bobby knows ahead of time all the moves I'm going to make, and he just bored sitting there, oh, I knew you were going to do that? Or is Bobby going to crush me because his level of expertise and his perspective of the chessboard is light years beyond mine, and it doesn't matter what I do with my free will choices, he will weave them into a winning strategy? Which is a more impressive Bobby Fischer? The bored Bobby who knows ahead of time what I'm going to do, or the incredibly talented, resourceful Bobby who win and even maybe make it look like I'm winning along the way? Obviously, the latter. And as Greg Boyd makes a statement in his book, it takes a greater God to steer a world populated with free agents than it does to steer a world of pre-programmed automatons. This is a God that you can love. This is a God who weeps with you when tragedy afflicts you. This is a God who hopes and dreams with you when you hope and dream of good things that you want to do for him and for those in your life. And Jesus Christ is the one who underwrites, who emphasizes, who underscores all of this, because Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. So I encourage you to dig into our website. We got a lot more teaching about this, and in our forthcoming foundational class, One Day with the Creator, which we should have out in a few weeks on DVD. It's just an overview of Scripture. It's phenomenal. And the section on this one in that class is exhilarating. So great to be with you today, Rob, and bless you guys out there in Radio Land.
Well, thank you very much, John. It's always a pleasure. And I hope you enjoyed today's show as well. All of our shows are available on iTunes, on Rapid Feeds, and of course available on demand here at the Indy104.com website. And you don't need to sit at your computer all day to hear the show. If you're not familiar with the technology, all you got to do is go on the homepage at Indy104.com. There are applications there that you can download on your iPhones, smartphones, Droids, all these different modern technological phones that I don't have yet. But anyways, you can do that. And then you do like my wife. You just play the show right through your cell phone, and you can play it right through the Bluetooth in your car if you have Bluetooth, and you can just like a regular radio wherever you're at. So no excuse not to hear. John Lynn has had some amazing teachings, and you can go online on iTunes and just look up Rob Ekno, and under there just scroll down and you'll run into several of John's shows, as this one will be up there shortly. We hope you are having an amazingly wonderful Wednesday. And John, we've got about a minute and a half here left. Just one quick last thought. First thing that comes to your mind to kind of wrap up this whole show, in the fact that, again, God's foreknowledge, man's free will, what's the deal?
Well, again, the problem of evil is the irreconcilable elephant in the living room, or whatever. And if everyone in the world now, with the technology we have, everyone is informed basically of everything that's going on around the earth, at least that which the media wants you to see. But in any case, evil is rampant. I mean, golly, people shooting groups of children for whatever reason, and so forth and so on. And so what do we do? Here we are. How can we be lights in the midst of darkness? Well, look, you got to be plugged in to shine. And the way you plug in is, number one, get born again. Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. And then come to a knowledge of the truth. And I do not, I mean, look, all I was in the right place at the right time 45 years ago. I do not know any other place on the earth to find what you can find on our website and through our ministry. I don't. And I wish I did, but I don't. And so I encourage you to take advantage of it, dig in there, get our new class that's coming out, and let the Lord Jesus Christ touch your heart.
Man, you couldn't have wrapped it up any better than that. And we are hope you're having a very blessed Wednesday. John, of course, out in Indianapolis, Indiana. Go online at TLTF.org and check out their teachings, check out their DVDs, check out all kinds of amazing knowledge that they've been able to decipher reading and learning the Word of God. John, thank you so much once again. I hope you have an amazingly blessed day. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Rob. God bless you, and God bless all of you out there. Thanks so much.
Wow, what an awesome show, huh? Always tremendous knowledge. It's always great. How can you learn enough about God? I mean, he guides us. He's there. He created us. You can never know enough, and I certainly enjoy the teachings and the learnings, and I hope you do too. TLTF.org. Go online, check them out, grab some of their materials, and enjoy. Blessed to be with you on this Wednesday. I hope we've gotten you over the hump in a good way. Speaking of God, of course we have. Here's Pastor Stephen Young. Be healed and let God be true. Have a very blessed Wednesday.
In Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus told how to receive from the Lord. I read his saying, I had a need. I prayed in faith and that I received. I got my answer back when I prayed. I will not cast my confidence away. By faith I've taken what I desire. Let God be true and every man. Don't understand. How can I have things I can't hold in my hand? But I'm not going by things I see. I have God's word, and that's good enough for me. I got my answer back when I prayed. I will not cast my confidence away. every man a liar. I see no change yet, but that's all right. I'll keep on walking by faith and not by sight. I will not worry, instead I'll laugh. I'm thanking